Jammers.
Wait, what's the show?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast.
Jammers.
Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And.
Hey.
Stephen Penta.
And real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh. I mean, like, it's selfish help.
Jammers. We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Now, I imagine, because when you always talk about you get the charcoal lemonade, I imagine it's like what I get from the juice press, which is the dirty detox, which is charcoal water with lemon and cayenne.
Yeah.
And agave. But yours is somehow chewy.
It's a slushy.
It's a slushy. I would, you know, I fucking wish it was
it's
ice
so
cream.
It's so fucking good.
I wish it was ice cream.
It's so, especially because it's been like 85 every day.
Yeah.
These are like the best.
It's the new charcoal lemonade McFlurry.
I don't know. Some vodka in this.
Right.
Put me in a pool. I'm good to go.
Can I tell you that I have done that? It is one of the most delicious things in the world.
These are so good because it's not sweet.
Yeah.
Like it's a little teeny sweet.
It's a little teeny sweet, just like us. We're just a little teeny sweet.
Oh, we are not a little teeny sweet.
We're not a little teeny anything.
Hold on. Don't cut this, but poor Preston's in the bedroom and I forgot to close the door.
So leave it on.
Really hearing everything.
Oh, God. Yeah, we need Preston to stay alive.
I feel like somebody Preston would really experience this episode.
Yeah. No, that's a trick is mixing vodka in with a healthy beverage. I love tequila and kombucha. That's a nice combo.
I just can't fuck with kombucha. I've tried
really? So
many different.
With all the gross shit that you eat?
And I love it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I know. I eat fucking sauerkraut out of the jar with chopsticks.
Oh my God.
I cannot fuck with kombucha at all. Ugh.
Speaking of, any sauerkraut out of a jar with toothpicks. Chopsticks.
Or I'll fucking do it with toothpicks.
That's the new challenge.
Toothpick but a tiny chopstick.
Right. That's the new challenge for this week. We were going to do a whole 30 for a month, but instead, here's how we're going to get our summer bugs back.
Only eat with toothpicks.
Yeah, you can only use toothpicks, which actually doesn't work.
The toothpick diet.
No, because I'll just go to Costco and eat a bunch of cheese.
Yep, I know. I was like, I'll take beanie weenies out of a crock pot.
Beanie weenies.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Is that a weenie cooked in beanies?
You never heard.
Sounds like a Costco monstrosity.
And now I call bullshit on anyone who ever claims they were white trash in the littlest bit. If you don't know when I say beanie weenies, if you went, huh? Upper middle class. Never.
That's all in middle class.
Yep. That's the line in the sand. Go up to any of these hipsters where I saw some asshole in a Billabong backpack and I was like, get the fuck out of here. These asshole teenagers are dressing the way I dressed when I was a poor 14-year-old.
Can we talk about that? When I went to get my delicious charcoal lemonade slushy, shout out Press Brothers. Please give me, these are $6. Please start giving them to me for free. Two girls were walking like towards me. It was 1994.
Did they have like the huge pants?
Fucking
with
Champion,
like the, yeah.
Sweatshirts, a Chanel fanny pack, tight black bike shorts. Like I was like, oh my God, are you me in third grade?
Yeah.
Right.
Are you coming from the past to warn me about something? Because that doesn't make sense. You're coming in the future.
And no, that wasn't even me in third grade. The fanny pack, like we had those sometimes, but even in the 90s, all you kids wearing fanny packs, even in the 90s, as teenagers in the 90s, fanny packs
were
still
they were fucking lame.
They were not cool. You know who wore fanny packs? Our fucking parents.
Yeah, parents always wore fanny packs.
But you know what was cool? Oversized Tweety Bird shirts.
That was cool.
I had some of those. I had some. I wore oversized Tweety Bird shirts and then like bright colored bike shorts.
Yeah.
My God, let's find some pics of that.
I know. Oh, we have many pics. Thankfully.
We got to do a challenge of that where we dress like we did in elementary school and then just have to push all the dicks and pussies of young people away from us because they're going to think we're so cool.
Yeah, no, dude, that's hilarious. Yes, well, and overalls, overalls are so cute.
But I feel like overalls fully went away. It's the width of the pants that really get. It's like that ironic Jenko jeans width is back that freaks me out.
Yeah, it's all 90s stuff. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's gross. That's why I just like to keep it real in my denim shorts. with holes all in the butt to let you know if you want a real home cooked meal of beanie weenies, you come to mama.
These are beanie hipster- weenies. It sounds, I don't like, I'm not a weenie fan.
These are not hipster shorts.
What is it that defines?
I'm sorry, a beanie weenie?
Are they tiny?
Venus weenus.
Venus weenus. As soon as you started that,
I was like, nope, stop.
Venus full stop. Venus weenus. Oh, use the French.
That sounds like a dick thing. That sounds what I like playfully call Preston's penis when we're like in bed, and I'm like, who's got a Venus weenus? And it's flaccid, and I'm just like flipping it back and forth.
Yeah, stick a toothpick in that. Just right in the.
To me, it reminds me of like an ironic Beavis and Butthead. Where they're different, like a Beavis and Butthead multiverse, where they're Venus and Weenus.
It makes me think of a dick.
Yeah, okay. Like a dick, but with glasses. Like a penis wearing glasses.
Steven.
Ew, it's the esteemed Venus Weenus.
How did you know not I had glasses a monocle. For my dick?
Right, yeah.
Just a monocle over the head of his penis.
That's my dick.
Professor Weenus is here, quick. Hide your fanny pack.
A tweed jacket with elbow patches and a monocle.
Yeah. Hello. Mm-hmm. Please, come. Please, my father was Mr. Weenus. Call me Venus. The dumbest joke, but I love it so much.
Oh, God.
Beanie Weenies.
Now I just want tuna stuffed jalapenos, though.
Yeah, see, that's a
that's
level
of my white trash.
That's so, do you remember when I made those for?
And we bonded over the fact that I knew what they were and was so excited that you and everyone else wanted to throw up, that you'd brought that into an enclosed space.
But they wanted to throw up, but then guess what? They ate all of them. It was gone. I remember
I think you and me ate all of them. Let's be honest here.
And the real story is there was no party. We sat in a room talking to stuffed animals.
Just eating tuna stuffed jalapenos. Oh, I want that right now.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And we can do that on the Whole 30. We're going to, instead of killing ourselves, we're not going to do, we are going to talk about it because it was a rough week.
It was a real rough week. I'm very upset.
Yeah. Last week, the episode, and then everybody's like, our energy was off. And then it was the next day. It was, we recorded the episode. And then the next day, not that we predicted or that we were like sensing the sadness.
It was weird timing.
But we were both, Megan and I were both just really kind of like off. And then that night in France, Anthony Bourdain killed himself. And
poor Eric Repair.
I know.
I'm so sad for him, for finding him.
Yeah.
They were friends for like 30 fucking years.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's, and like.
And his daughter.
Yeah.
It's so terrible.
I know. It's such a sad, like, it's such a weird thing. And then we like joked about it for a half a second on the last episode. And I know that like, but this is like a real thing. And it's so sad. I saw all the people posting on social media after it happened, and everyone's just like, if you're sad, reach out and people love you. And it feels so disingenuous as someone who seriously has thought about suicide many times. It's like, that doesn't work.
Yes.
When you're really that sad, it's not like, well, I'm just mad because no one texts me back. I'm going to kill myself. That's like not why.
I did see some people who posted, and it was all people who like have really dealt with like severe depression and like thoughts of suicide have been like, you don't understand like when you're in that place. Because that was the thing with Bourdain is everybody like they were filming an episode. So it's like everybody was like, he was fine.
Yeah, of
like
course
the
he's
night
fine
before,
when he's
like
at
he
work,
was like, fine. But like, yeah, like. With like the crew, like nobody, and it's like, well, yeah, because he really wanted to kill himself,
right?
Yeah,
so he wasn't gonna be like,
and no matter,
so sad. I just wanna, I don't. Is that what you do when you want to fake kill yourself? You breathe like that,
the horse.
And now I can't do it again. Now I can't do it on command.
Wilmer.
I'm the least fun babysitter.
Yeah,
I can't. This is serious, guys. This is serious.
Yeah. Anytime when I've thought about killing myself for reals, I don't talk about it. When I just want somebody to tell me I look pretty and I look skinny and my Janko overalls, then I go, I'm so sad. I just want to die.
And people are like, well, you should probably take off those disgusting Janko overalls and maybe you'll feel better.
Oh, I'm just so sad.
I just feel like a useless can of beanie weenies. I just want to die.
Is can beanie weenies?
Yes, it's in a can.
It comes pre-can. I thought it was like you mixed beans in and then you like those little cocktail weenies.
Yeah, that's mostly what it is. But I think it comes pre-canned. You can get it together. But I mean, it's two canned foods that you put together in a crock pot, which is what is a crock pot? If not, it's a big ceramic can. Do you know?
That is true. That is true.
It's not like you take canned goods and do something fancy with it.
That's gross. It's really grossing me out because I'm just picturing little tiny
dicks.
Weenuses.
Yeah.
Floating in a sea of beanuses.
Yeah. You are grossed out now, but wait till.
I don't like cased meats. They make me want to kill myself.
Sorry. I just want to.
if you make me eat this Venus weenus, I'm gonna kill myself.
Yeah,
that's not genuine.
Real. Yeah. Now we're doing what my mother did to me growing up, which is nagging people,
right?
Who are like
to kill themselves,
right? Oh yeah, you want to kill yourself so bad? Prove it. Why don't you stop whining about it and tie some sheets together? Which, quick side note, and this is a joke, but also a real question. Hanging yourself? That seems like the last way I would do it.
That's what I...
Well, Kate Spade did that too. No. Anthony did it.
My thing with... Like, that's... You got a minute.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have time. So it's just like, oh, what's going on that like last 30 seconds or minute or whatever of consciousness?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know. You know what? I change it. That's the challenge for right now. Here we go. Last episode. That's a joke. And that's how I let you know I'm doing it for attention.
That's how Wendy lets you know she's telling a joke.
I just kick my hooves.
Oh, we have a joke alert. It's a joke Amber alert.
They are hooves. I've seen your feet unsheathed. They are hooves. Cloven hooves. <Aww. laughs>
Yeah, no, that's when you are thinking about doing it for real and like the plan, there's a sense of relief where you're like, oh, cool. Okay, great. I'm going to do it. Perfect. And then it's almost the same feeling and not to be like overly dramatic or serious, but this is a conversation I had with a family member a couple days ago. And the trick that I would do when I've been really super depressed and I'm so sad and I'm like, I'm going to really kill myself and I've made the decision. And I know how I'm going to do it and everything's planned out. And I'm like, okay, but I have to go to work this day and I got to call these people and I map everything out and I'm like, okay, great. And then I think about it and then I'm like, oh, I have like shit to do for the next month. And then like, and then my mom would be pissed. Like, so then I'm like, well, and then what I do is, I go, okay. And I make total peace with it. And then I go, okay, if you really want to kill yourself, great. But then how about, because you're probably you're emotional right now and things are not going well. And I heard you fart.
I was so hoping that I heard you fart during the middle of this very important conversation.
Crushing this suicide episode.
if you had killed yourself, because the last episode you were like, wow, you know, you're like, oh, things seem
to. Then we wouldn't have had that beautiful moment.
Right. Then you never get to hear Megan fart. And we're making eye contact. We're being very sincere. And Megan just leaned out of frame. Because in case if you're your first time listening.
It was a real dad fart move.
In case you're. Oh, dude.
I've been really gassy. I made vegan pizzas last night and I'm very gassy from it.
Just one more reason to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who else? I don't want some other whore farting in bed with my boyfriend.
Right. I want to be that whore.
I challenge some bitch to come replace me in that aspect. You could fucking do other stuff. No chance will you beat me at farting.
No. No way.
That would be a hole in his heart forever.
A hole in his heart and a hole in the bed sheets because... Did I mention I dip sauerkraut in charcoal ice cream or whatever the fuck you're drinking?
Yeah, it's like, why? I can't figure out why I'm so gassy.
It's so weird. Well, that's with the whole 30 challenge. And this is something that we'll document it on the Instagram. It's a month long thing and it's super easy. We'll put the plan up there. You just eat vegetables
It's vegetables, fruits, proteins, but it's no cheese.
It's basically no dairy and no refined sugar.
Right. And no starch.
You can fuck with fruit.
They also include beans, though, and legumes, which is peanuts. So no beans, no peanuts. And Megan, I like how Megan's like, I wonder why I'm farting so much. I'm like, well, yeah, but you also can't eat beans. And she's like, what?
I'm putting beans all the time.
I'm putting beans in my egg whites right now.
I literally did that because the pizza, I made Mexican pizzas. So the sauce was refried beans. So
delightful.
I eat beans probably almost every day.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to eat at work because that's all I eat at work. I get egg whites and beans.
That's no wonder.
I'm going to stop farting and he's going to be he's going to send me the doctor.
Can you switch the beans for a vegetable?
What do you mean?
Like, just like, a vegetable, whatever vegetables at the restaurant. I mean, like broccoli, asparagus, something.
Oh, no. Well, we don't have broccoli or asparagus.
Oh.
But no, there's no substitute for beans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beans,
there's no
beans.
Thing other than beans.
There is nothing but beans.
Nothing can substitute the beans. Musical fruits. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. There's a song about
it. Yeah. And if any food has a song specifically about how it makes your butt grosser.
I mean, maybe we should write new songs.
I want to eat that food.
Exactly.
Maybe we just need to write new songs for the next generation. I mean, really, if we're using music to define our diet, that makes sense.
There should
sense.
Be a song about asparagus. That's that makes your pee smell
it
icky.
Makes your pee smell.
You
should have a funny asparagus.
Summer.
Asparagus rhymes with piss.
Yeah. Asparagus, piss, smell.
Aspara, piss.
Asparagus, can you spare a piss? We'll do it.
We'll work on this later. This is another episode. By that, let's never speak of this again.
Yeah. Okay, you want to hear a song about food? Quinoa. My quinoa. iTunes. It's a jammer.
Hot summer jam.
Do it. And thank you. Somebody just bought it. Yeah. Thank you guys for buying that. Really appreciate it. Anyway, back to the topic of suicide and hanging yourself. So here's what I do is I make a deal with myself and I'm like, okay, if you really want to do it, then you can do it 1 year from today. And I'll make a mark in whatever journal I have or on my calendar. And I'm like, 1 year from today, if you're still super unhappy and kill yourself. But then the deal I make with myself is I'm like, okay, you can kill yourself a year from today. But since you already know you're going to be dead in a year, then there's nothing to be anxious about. You don't have to worry about retirement or anything like that. You only have 1 year to live. So then do everything that you want to do and try to have the best year you can have. And then when I do that, I lose the anxiety. It's just like I trick myself into thinking that like, oh, I have a terminal illness and like, I'm going to be dead in X amount of months. And so when a lot of people, when they get that information, they then start like, they're happier and they're like, you know what? I always wanted to travel more. Like I wanted to take up, you know, whatever hobby.
You like change your voice and like went into a character. Like,
I know.
I wanted to travel more.
I went into my character. Do you know what I've always wanted to do? I've always wanted to be a drag queen. Penis weenus.
That's a great drag name.
Yeah.
We should do that. We should just do drag.
Oh man, you guys could totally do drag.
Yeah, Vicky DeVille does female drag. We could do it.
We'd be so good at it.
I know.
We do male drag where we just look like this.
Oh yeah, male drag is easy.
It's just our regular look.
Yeah.
Someone told me that I should do drag therapeutically. I do not think that would fit my thing.
What?
Yeah.
Who told you to do drag therapeutically?
A bud that I was hanging out with was just like, you should try and do drag. And I'm like, oh no. No. I can't dance. I should dance as me, not even in drag.
Why would that help you therapeutically? I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's something about putting on a persona and like allowing yourself to just become a totally different character that I could see being therapeutic. Like I totally get that. And I fucking love drag shows. Like I do. It's amazing.
Everyone loves drag.
Yeah. Right. How could you not? But I don't.
Tu Wong Fu.
You know.
Love that movie.
Sweat and saw at Hollywood Forever the other night.
A peach.
God, I forgot how much I love that movie. Oh, and I was livid. No one, Preston had seen it, which surprised me. No one else in our group had seen it.
What? Who'd you go with?
Doug and Meredith, and then my friend Cole and Evan Kessler. None of them had seen it.
Yeah, I actually haven't. I have not seen that movie.
You're fucking. I go to work the next day and I'm all like Tu Wong food up. I'm all jazzed.
I love you going in to serve brunch in a feather boa and giant, like, and you're with your cans, your sweet, sweet cans, just shoved into these oversized, like, metallic cones.
I should start doing that. No, no one at my work had seen it. I was like, oh my God, it's so. No one had seen it. And then our new manager, who's like this very nice, like mid-20s dude, like was told me that that's like a thing he lies about. He's gay. And he was like, oh, I've like lied about seeing that movie before. I've never seen it.
These young kids, I can't take it.
Go see it. You're champion. You got JNCO jeans and you're not watching Tu Wong Fu. What the fuck are you doing with your life?
You're missing all the good shit.
Yeah. Take off. I'm confiscating that Tweety Bird shirt and I'm keeping it right here in this fanny pack until you come back and prove. I want to see a receipt.
I need quotes. I need you to come back with quotes from Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything. Julie Newmar. Which my coworker, who's like not an awful person. I was like, because at this point I'd asked like five people and they'd all said they hadn't seen it. And I was very upset. My joy had gone to fury very quickly. And so I go over at her and I'm like, Nicole, you've seen Tu Wong Fu, right? And she's like, no, but from everything, it sounds racist. And I was like, because Tu Wong Fu. And I was like, you are wrong. It is a beautiful film about self-discovery and acceptance and Stockard Channing kicking her husband piece of shit to the curb with the help of Patrick Swayze. God, it's a beautiful film.
Patrick Swayze's so hot in that.
He is hot in everything.
I know.
Yeah.
He's hot in everything. Sorry, that
Wesley
was
Snipes terrifying.
Oh my God.
But John Leguizamo, beautiful.
Yeah.
He made young he made a real good looking
John Leguizamo still. I mean, John Leguizamo, whenever he does something, he knocks him out of the fucking park.
We're talking specifically about
but he was like a hot drag queen.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
like we're specifically very fuckable, like where a straight man would be very upset.
Yeah.
Much like kind of what happens in the film, but not really.
Yeah. This is Jammerswood. Don't forget. We're not talking about their work. We're talking about men and how much we want to fuck them or not.
They're dicks. We're talking about how we want to fuck Patrick Swayze and drag.
Yeah. God, I love Pat. Yeah, Patrick Swayze and drag. When I was a kid, I remember I saw that and I was just like, that was so sexy. It was so sexy.
I've seen that movie. I rented that so often from Blockbuster. That was probably my favorite movie when I was in elementary school.
Oh, see, I've only seen that
and Hairspray.
Times.
I had a lot. Yeah.
Hairspray.
Oh, yeah. Hairspray is like my favorite movie. How is that surprising?
It's not surprising. I just fucking love John Waters.
Yeah, I love John Waters. He's my favorite person in the world.
Yeah.
I want to go to Baltimore. I've wanted to go to Baltimore since I was three. That's a weird thing.
I don't know about
That's
Baltimore.
That's a weird place you want to go.
I love. I mean, it's what
he's from Baltimore and all his movies are.
Everything's in Baltimore. Place in Baltimore. Yeah.
So ever since I was little, I've wanted to go to Baltimore.
Have you ever been there?
No.
We should do that as a vacation.
Yeah, we could do Baltimore
can
as
we
a trip.
I would
We
die.
Could do Baltimore as a day trip.
I want to stay. Oh. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, and I want to eat whole crab bodies.
Right. Yeah.
But like.
And you got to do, I mean, the Poe, the Edgar Allan Poe shit is Baltimore.
And what?
Edgar Allan Poe, I think is something.
Edgar?
Edgar? Who cares?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Edgar? Do it.
Edgar?
Oh God. I want Preston. Preston does it so good. I want to make him come in and do the Edgar thing.
What?
It's so good.
What?
He does it so
Wait,
good.
Wait, what does
when
he do?
When I'm sad, I make him do it. The Men in Black thing.
Oh, I did not. That's not what I was doing. I was making fun of Steven because instead of saying Edgar Allan Poe, he goes, Edgar Allan Poe. He just mispronounced the name.
Oh, yeah.
What's Edgar? You don't have to apologize. I mispronounce words all the time.
No, for Men in Black, when they're like, they come and he's like, his skin's falling off his bones.
I don't know.
I don't
know. Thank God.
Men in Black, is like,
no
it's like tased out of my brain.
These amazing films from the 90s.
I mean, people who've seen Men in Black. That obscure art film, Men in Black.
Obviously not.
I just blocked it out.
Now,
God damn it. I can't believe you guys haven't seen these movies. I'm going to go kill myself.
I'm going to kill myself until you see these movies. Right. I don't understand the concept of death.
All this way over here, tying shit together. It's such a weird thing, but the hanging thing to me seems like so intense, but I guess if you're fucking done, you're done. It's like breaking up with somebody. At some point you're like, all right, I tried to make this work. I'm not happy.
I think if you've been fucking with asphyxiation stuff, I think the hanging thing becomes more conceivable. I mean, not to go super dark, but
no, that's weird talking about it. And that's another thing too. I think that it's a lot of things where instead of having a real conversation about suicide or even like, you know, like, especially as comics, you say the word abortion on stage or you say the word rape and people get fucking, there's this weird thing goes on where with society, like with suicide and rape and sexual assault, when something happens, like the Harvey Weinstein thing, when shit's happening and no one says anything and they're like, you guys got it. And then there's this huge movement. You got to tell everybody as soon as something happens, you got to say something and you're like, okay, great. But then when comics or people like us, you know, like even a podcast, whatever, try to have a discussion about rape, sexual assault, or make light of it, but like start an open conversation and make it less of a stigmatic thing to talk about.
Yeah.
I almost said stigmata.
I know. I got excited.
Another 90s movie.
I know, which is how I'm going to kill
myself. Another great 90s movie, by the way.
Mostly overlooked.
But it's like, then people shy away from it. Like what you just said, where people go like, well, I don't want to get too dark. But I think that's the way to like get people talking about it is to not have it be like, here's a suicide hotline. Call it if you feel sad.
I think I'm just really self-conscious because you guys know me and like, you know that I've dealt with a lot of suicide shit personally and with people I've dated and with my family.
Right.
Like, so for me, it's one of those conversations where it's like, if we're going to do this, I'm all in. But it's one of those things where like, I don't want to...
suicide?
Let's all kill ourselves.
It works.
But I just, I don't want to... I don't want to dump darkness on a comedy podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really self-conscious about it.
That's okay. Not to be shitty, but like, we'll be funny.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll make fun of your friends and family who have killed themselves.
As you always do.
Right. We're making fun of...
perk up the podcast.
Yeah, we're making fun of ourselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that's why you're supposed to make fun of shit that's, quote, dark and intense, because
it makes it feel safer, and then you can talk about it.
Right.
And then you bring something up in a humorous way, it's easier to talk about in a serious way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because then that's the thing with people who are dealing with anything. If somebody, and that's like with most little kids who are getting like molested and sexually abused, they don't go to school and be, and like on the monkey bars, like, hey, it's weird. Does your dad kiss you with a tongue too? Like, they don't do that. When something shitty's happening to you, you shut down and like are quiet.
Yeah, and you have to be really looking for those signs.
And so what's happening? Did I somehow spit through?
I swear
to God. Just get a water drop in your apartment?
Because something wet just hit my cheek.
I spat when we did the last fake suicide thing.
Have we finally done this? Have we figured out how to travel space and time?
Yeah, because I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I just shot spit out. And then I swear to God, I saw you touch your face and I'm like, I'm not even going to say anything because it's a visual. Is that weird?
No, I swear to God.
Shut up. That's
because something wet hit right here. I swear to God.
See, and there's your magic trick, you fuck.
That was a real...
Fuck you, magicians, David Blaine.
Yeah.
Look what we can do. Probably never again.
Right. Look what we can do. Become so insane.
Our bodily fluids can travel through space and time.
Bending space and time.
Okay, that was weird. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
You know.
How exciting. Well, practice that much.
When I saw you touching your face and I was like, I'm not going to say anything. See, and that's another reason don't kill yourself, because you can spit on your friend.
You never know when magic will happen.
From 3,000 miles away, you could spit on your friend's face and you don't want to miss that.
Yeah. Because there's like, you know, and even today I woke up and I've just been the last few days really bummed out. And here's the difference. And this is why I think to joke about it and like for us and to like open up a conversation and like talk about it and not that you don't take it seriously, but anytime something becomes precious where it's like, ooh, like, and I understand like Because the last few days I've been laying in my apartment being like, I just want to, like, what's the point? I just want to die. And I've been really trying to think, like, is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? And I'm like, and I know it's not that it's a good idea or a bad idea, but I'm like, I probably shouldn't because I have shit to do. And I'm like, but I just had to break down and identify what was happening. And this morning I got up and the weather's really nice and I put on a bathing suit and put sunscreen on and like went for a walk. And I had my coffee and I just took my coffee with me and I was like, just get up and just go walk by the water.
Yeah.
Instead of having coffee in my apartment. And I was instantly in a good mood and I'm like, okay, so you need to just get out of your own fucking head and go do something, you know? Yeah. And like, it's sometimes something just as simple as that. But yeah, once you decide you're going to kill yourself, I mean, man.
I mean, I have to
chillin'.
Tell you it's...
Well, I think if someone really decides they're going to do it, they're going to do it.
Right.
Like that's just... Because I've always, like, I've never really thought about suicide. Because I'm like, if I get to, like, where I'm really, really bummed, I do the same thing you do, kind of, where I'm just like, man, but what if, like, a super funny thing happens next week?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know what I mean? Or, like, oh, there's going to be, like, I'm supposed to go on this trip or whatever. Or, like, seriously, something, like, simple. Like, yeah, like, what if I go to the beach and it's, like, really pretty that day?
Yeah. I swear to God, that was part of...
I'm like, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss out on that, so I'm not going to kill myself.
Yeah, I promise you.
Selfishly. I'm sticking around forever. Fuck all of you.
Yeah, no, I did that the other day. I was like super bummed. I was just sitting there and it was nice weather and I looked forward at the weather forecast. And I was like, oh man, it's going to be like.
Can't kill myself till September.
Yeah, I know. It is going to be nice out.
I feel really bad, but like you guys are making me realize that my depression is like, manifests much more intensely than what you're talking about.
You don't have to feel badly about it.
No. But the whole thing that you're talking about where you're like, no, but then I go do something and then it switches. Like when I mean, I don't think we need to beat around this. Like everyone knows that I was suicidal after my breakup. Like that was something that I talked pretty openly about. I know we talked about it and, you know, it was really hard. I had a really good network. My family's amazing. My family grew up talking about suicide. My dad tried to commit suicide after his accident. I tried to commit suicide multiple times as a teenager. And so it was something. And I dated women that tried to commit suicide multiple times as a teenager. Like I've been around depression and suicide my whole life. And so it's something that I always have to deal with. But with me, it's much more bleak when it happens. I mean, it only happens every like, Jesus, 10 years. No, but like 10 years where it's real, you know, where it's like,
you're like,
really
it only happens
bad.
Every time I have to do this podcast with you assholes. It's very bleak.
No, but when it happens, it's like, there is no thought of tomorrow. There's no thought of anything I have to do. There's no thought of, I'm unable to think of anything positive or bright happening. It's
well,
just
that's what severe depression is, I think. Like that's the thing. Like that's what I'm saying where I'm like, yeah, what I've gone through isn't that severe.
Yeah. And ever. I don't live with that every day. It's only when things happen that are like massive life changes, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's why, you know, when I talked to my dad about my depression a lot and I talked to him about his depression because he had a spinal cord injury. He's in a wheelchair, you know what I mean? Like he went through that and he came out the other side of it and learned how to deal with it.
Right.
But my dad has the exact same disposition I have. You guys know how I am. You can imagine how I would deal with a spinal cord injury. Probably the same way I deal with a shoulder dislocation and exercise. Like it would be rough. You know, and I think there is that thing of recognizing that when you hit that place, just for me, learning that it is temporary and that is a feeling that will last for weeks. I mean, I'm still going through it, you know, but you start living your life and you start doing normal things. Then you start finding other things and support systems. And eventually it goes in like big phases and big waves for me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Cause if you overly deny it, but like, it's real.
Yeah. You have to be able to accept it. And then not only that, but then figure out, because you're never going to be like, I feel bad sharing this with you now because I feel like I'm bringing everyone down. And I know
you
that
bring
you
bring everyone down all the time.
Yeah,
so it's not like this is.
If we're being honest, you know what bums us out more when you try to make a joke?
Yeah. When you that's so much worse.
When you try to riff and make
then
a joke,
I want to kill myself.
Yeah, that's way worse.
I know.
This is much more authentic, but it's good because everyone has different ways they deal with shit.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the most important thing for everyone is realizing, like, okay, this is the way I am.
Just kill yourself. I'm joking. I had to say it. I'm sorry.
I am. This is the way my brain is wired. And then realizing that everyone needs a support system. So, okay, what is that? What does it look like? And if I'm being really real, like, a huge problem in my relationship was that was too much of my support system. And Christina wasn't. I shouldn't have made her that person.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty common in a relationship.
Super common.
You know.
Because you wait, you know, 2 years too late to get a therapist and dump your shit there. You know what I mean?
But yeah. See, and that's here's what I'm gonna call bullshit, because when I'm sad, you know what I do? I don't call anybody. I have no support system. So fuck you.
Comedy is
So now who's bringing the show down?
Comedy is your support system. It really is.
No. Uh-huh. No.
I mean, I know you isolate really hard when you're very depressed, but
I like doing it, but at the end of the day, it's like, what is that? Those aren't my real friends. Those aren't real people.
Yeah.
No horse sound. Dun dun dun.
I mean, how do you think you could design a support system that would work for you?
I don't care. I have
she won't.
One.
This is pointless. I'm just saying, I've known Wendy a long time. This, right. She won't. There's no talking to her about this. This is right. the way she
well,
is.
And it's the and same. And it's, I mean, but, and that's fine.
It's okay.
But I'm just trying to call you out on your bullshit. Saying you're the real depressed one. Ha ha. I'm going to be.
Wendy wins.
I'm going to shoot
more depressed than you. Second. I want to fake kill myself more than you do.
I want to fake kill myself way more than any of you.
This is Facebook in real time. I identify with Anthony Bourdain the most.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, that's something else I want to talk. Because like him killing himself, I fucking for sure thought. And like, I mean, any smart person. He had the best life. Like
yes.
You would think like, dude, this fuck this guy. He's the best. He's got it figured
no
out.
One.
He was a chef. He traveled. He saw the world. He just drank and smoked and ate.
He's fucking
and
hot.
Probably fucked loads. Super hot. Fucked loads of hot bitches. Best life. But it's
you
like, no,
know.
He fucking killed himself.
You never know.
Exactly. You never know.
What someone's
people,
life really is.
But people like get mad about that. Like there are people that are mad that because they're like, fucking, how can you kill yourself when you've got it? Like, it's the best life and you've got everything. And it's like, no, obviously he didn't.
That's like everyone
feel
assuming
that, way.
That like money fixes everything or, you know, like it's just you never know what people's life
but
really
it's,
is.
Exactly. But I mean, there's a lot of people that look at it that way.
Yeah.
Where they're like, if I had that, I wouldn't kill myself. And it's like,
right.
Well, no, you don't know that. Because you
it's
don't know
also,
what he was going to.
It's also really, really hard to find a support network when you're famous because all of a sudden it's like you don't feel like you can trust people. You don't feel, I mean.
Tell us
oh,
about
Stephen
it.
Knows, yeah, Stephen
no,
knows this from personal
no,
experience.
No. I mean, just
tell
from,
me about
just
it.
Just from being around people and kind of like babysitting, you know, like I've been around enough to know that like. Famous people aren't happy. Wealthy people aren't always happy. Some of them are.
Yeah, we've
some
all
of them
seen
aren't.
Movies.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I know, but that's real. And I do think it's a very isolating way of living that can be hard. I mean, just look at fucking.
Well,
like,
good thing we'll never have to worry about being rich and famous.
I mean, what do you think about, what do you think about Kanye West coming out as bipolar in his new record? Like, have you know.
We knew,
I think everybody knew
he was bipolar.
Right. But I think like with
he almost died in a car accident and then thought and then when he came out of like a coma or whatever, he was like, oh, I had a realization that I'm Jesus. And so when I heard that, I was like, so he's bipolar.
I mean, I think
and or schizophrenic. I will say that for that, the superpower thing, I'm like, fuck yeah. Because it goes both ways. That's why I haven't killed myself is because like when I get really bummed out and I feel stressed out, it's never like when I'm in a state of depression, it's in a state of mania where I just am like, my brain won't shut off.
Yeah.
Which is why I love that sweet, sweet booze. But it's
what
I mean.
You're a superhero.
but it really is. Oh my God. There's this commercial on and it's on like CNBC and the channels that I watch when I can't sleep.
Wait, and the channels that I watch, what are the other channels?
See,
Why did you name CNBC of all channels and amongst the to make yourself so smart? Is that what just happened?
About your cable package.
Oh my
Jeez.
God, that was beautiful.
No, it's
that was
the
that
opposite.
Was the most obnoxious thing you ever done. Oh, when I can't sleep and I'm watching CNBC and then you know whatever other channels happen to come on the television.
Numerous channels.
Oh my God. Oh. You asshole.
What?
You should kill yourself.
Hard.
It's just a fart noise when I try to do it.
It's a queef sound.
Would somebody somebody send for my beanie weenies? CNBC is on. I can't be bothered to leave the screen.
Babe. I'm gonna have Preston quickly guest on the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, but there's a commercial for a medication for bipolar, specifically the maniac.
Which one?
It's a woman.
Huh? The Edgar skin's falling.
What are you talking about?
Thing. Please?
Please?
Edgar, your skin's falling off your bones.
Preston, do it better. I'm going to kill myself.
Wait, do it again. Do it one more time. Babe, please. Babe, do it really quick. You're making me look like a real asshole on my own podcast.
I just did it once.
I know, but you have to do it again. Really good.
Edgar, your skin's falling off your bones.
Thank you.
Thank you, Preston.
Thanks, Preston.
Woo-hoo! Babe, you were embarrassing yourself. You were really good at it. I love you too. So mad at you. It's my favorite thing. I love it so much. Oh, I love it so
the
much.
The quote or him being mad at you?
Him. Don't
drop the mic. It's both very charming.
Well, I mean, now that's just my life, him being mad at me since I just made him do that. So
yeah,
I guess I'll learn to love it.
I love that he's just so tortured from his feature on Jammers.
That was exciting.
Yeah, that was exciting. Give it up for Prissy. And if you
I love it so much. It's my favorite thing.
If you guys would have killed
yourself. I don't know why I think it's so funny.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, I personally like you forcing him to do it and him doing it not the first time, not even
not
trying.
Committing. No committal.
He just leans in.
Oh, you should have seen him looking at me. The look on his face. It was like an angry
producer line reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you really didn't want you to get the part.
Now I feel like I really screwed up because now I'm scared he won't do it just for me anymore when I'm sad.
Aw.
He'll still do it.
Wouldn't that be awful if he's like, no, the only way I'll do it now is if you're doing it for the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to.
He definitely won't do that.
Yeah, you're bummed out. I need you to FaceTime somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Only if you go on FaceTime live.
See, so guys, if you want to kill yourself, just listen to Preston not trying to do Edgar, your skin's falling off your bones. And it'll perk you right up.
It's such a, but no, the Mania commercial. So, well, the show, so here are the channels. I go back and forth between CNBC and something called AWE, which is A Wealth of Entertainment.
I bet it's not.
Oh, it's not. It's like buying yachts, buying mansions.
Okay.
So I go between that and CNBC and Food Network and Headline News for Murder Shows. Those are my four things that I watch. If anybody wants to know. Okay, that's what I like watching.
So all the commercials are for like that machine that puts on your socks for you.
Yes. And yep. It's commercials for machines
and gold coins.
Yep, gold coins, sock putting on machines, and then like lots of medication, Viagra, and there's a one for bipolar disorder, and it's on the CNBC and the Wealth of Entertainment one, and I'm like, yeah, that's because all these rich people are doing drugs, even themselves bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's the commercials, this woman, it's like sometimes with bipolar, when you're manic, feel like you can take over the world. But the ad is just a woman making lots of sandwiches, like to go, like just making lots of sandwiches, like for lunches.
Which I love. She's like that's her in her moment of mania. She's like, I'm going to make sandwiches for the rest of the year. And just makes like a year's supply of sandwiches.
Yep. And then the other one is another, it's a woman and she's in an office. And she just is making notes and she just has sticky notes all over the place. She's making
notes. Oh, I've
notes.
Seen that one. I've seen that one.
Yeah. That one, you're like, I kind of get it, but also like, but she could also just be writing a television show. That's like,
which only crazy people do.
Right.
So
But the sandwich one is my favorite. And I'm like, that actually, you know, that's when I knew I was like, oh, maybe I need to chill out a little bit. When I see the sandwich, I'm like, that's actually a smart idea.
Yeah, she's really thinking ahead. She's planning out her life.
I mean, did you see her office? It's covered in Post-it notes.
She's got ideas.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to make lunch for the next year, which is amazing. She can get so much more work done.
Yeah. But the mania, that's whenever when I've thought like, I'm going to kill myself or I get really upset, it's because I feel like everything's spinning out of control. And that's why I love the sweet, sweet liquor. But because it really does, that knocks me down to like a normal.
It does. I'm concerned about this whole 30 thing. Or you could be like your friend and just drink clear liquors.
I know. Well, the whole 30 thing, when I did the whole 30 thing, and this is a real thing that Megan and I are really doing, and Steven can do it.
But I'm doing a whole 20 because my boyfriend's parents get into town, and what am I going to do? Not eat all the amazing food that they spend their money on? No.
Yeah.
I will not.
You almost had a stroke. You sounded like me trying to form a sentence. The thought of not eating bread, you were like,
oh. We're going to Animal. First of all, I haven't eaten meat in a very long time, so this is going to be interesting. But I can't not eat an Animal. So I'm like straight like crunchy bread with bone marrow.
When's the last time you had meat?
I shit my pants. Oh God, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah.
Did I have meat? I think I had like a bite of something Preston got, but I didn't even really get like. I had chicken and fish, but we all know those don't count.
Oh.
Those aren't living creatures.
Right. Oh,
I mean, like, you know, mammals.
Meat.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, a mammal. My
stuff
God.
With tits.
So on the diet, there's no booze. It's only clear liquor. What's the.
Well, there's not supposed to be any alcohol.
No, there's not supposed
there's
to be
supposed
any
to be
booze.
No alcohol.
There's okay. No booze.
I'm assuming there's no drugs.
Wink.
Wink, wink.
And then it's just fruits, vegetables, meat. So you're just no dairy, no refined sugar, and no grains and no legumes.
Okay.
I'll post it on the thing.
Cool.
Instagram.
It's easy. I think for a lot of people, like the no, for me, it's the no beans that's the toughest, which I know sounds insane, but the no grains at all is the toughest thing when people do it.
Yeah,
because
like,
it is. It's like
no cutting
sandwiches.
Out even like the minimal carbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I got like a straight taco, I couldn't eat the flour. Like, is that
what?
Yeah.
Like,
what
if you
are
got,
you talking
if you got,
about?
If you, you know got tacos that were just like meat and then lettuce, tomato,
you just eat the meat, lettuce, and tomato.
Yeah, you just don't.
You just don't eat the outside.
Yeah.
The outside, it's the tortilla.
The tortilla.
The tortilla
was the word I was
brain.
I was brain farting on tortilla.
The taco.
No, I don't know why. It was just like that thing. That fucking no tortilla. The tortilla.
You know the peel. The tortilla peel.
Yeah, the
yeah,
peel.
The
taco peel.
Ew, gross! You guys eat the peel of your taco?
Gross.
Oh my God. That. Thank you. That now I'll just listen to you say that when I'm sad. So Preston won't ever have to say the Edgar thing again.
See, this is why you can't have beanies, but you can eat all the weenuses you want. This is going to be great.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm going to eat so much sushi. I'm just going to justify spending all my money on sushi.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because, and the
sorry,
thing too-
sashimi. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I
yeah.
know. Gonna get some angry email from our Japanese listeners.
Yeah. Oh, sushi? Oh, with rice? Oh, gross. Oh, gross. Oh,
you gonna eat rice? You gonna eat rice on whole 30?
Yeah. Is that what you're gonna have?
Fucking no, I
losers.
Won't.
You fucking nerds.
Yes.
Oh, I was talking to us as my other personality. That was my ew. That was my I'm gonna kill myself.
That was
in a
that
year.
Was your CNBC lady.
Yeah. Ew, I'm gonna travel more. I've only got 8 more months until I hang myself. Ooh. And then once you start doing cool shit with your and once you start traveling and doing that, you go like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And it's not even about doing shit. Like you said, it's not about going out and doing things, but it's about like, and not to harp on this, but as somebody who actively gets so, so sad and I've planned it out, but I also, what I do, the big thing that I do is change my fucking attitude. right? So, and this sounds so cheesy, but and it sounds like you talk about your dad, you know, being in a wheelchair. And I will, and I walk and I look and I see people who like, and I'll be like, man, I'm just so sad and life sucks and I'm in a bad mood and everything's awful and I can look at all the shitty things and what's even the point? Well, I hate to break it to you, but if we're being real, look at a picture of the planet Earth taken from outer space, taken from the Hubble. How important are you? Not to be an asshole? Probably not that, like in this grand scheme of things, it's you're important to the people around you.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why you shouldn't kill yourself, because you don't matter.
Right. Because it's like, it's not, it is a big deal, but it's, and I know it sounds weird in some people, but for me that works I'm like, oh, so it's like, if I'm like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit, I'm ruining everyone's life. If you look at the scheme of things, like actually you might bum some people out, but you're not like actively ruining somebody's life every day, yeah. You know, like, it's not, you're not that big of an asshole.
Well, but you play your role in your world, you know?
Right. Like
there is that.
And
that
so, but it. Then, and so if you play that role in your world, and if you're telling yourself that you're a piece of garbage all the time, you're telling yourself you're making yourself a piece of garbage in your own world.
Right.
Now, something that's helpful for me is to go for a walk. And when I'm feeling bad about myself and being shitty, I go for a walk and I see like a 10-year-old, and this, I saw this yesterday, and like, I just, this kind of stuff, like, honestly, like, it makes me cry and it makes me feel like an asshole for like what the audacity that I have to sit around and be like, I'm gonna kill myself because I'm mad. I saw a 10-year-old with cerebral palsy who's like being pushed by a nurse standing out looking at the water, and they can't control their body movements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, and then I'm gonna be mad because I'm like, oh, I didn't get the TV show that I wanted.
Oh, I was during.
You know, it's like, have a little bit of fucking perspective.
How dare you?
Have a little bit of perspective and have some gratitude where it's like, did I have a show? Like, it'll be like, oh man, I had a bad set. I was just in a weird headspace and I had a bad set and that, you know, in that book or might not book. It's like, okay, so then work on that and get better. But to be so self-obsessed.
Yeah.
Because there's a line at which it's like, it becomes being bummed out and feeling badly about yourself, there's a line that it crosses to where it becomes straight up like vanity and narcissism, where you're so upset. That's because if you're so sad about how shitty you are, if, and I remember I thought about this when I was in junior high, there's a flip, but I remember being like, I remember I had this flip when I was in junior high and I was just like writing in my journal about how terrible I was. And I laughed and I thought like, well, if I think I'm so terrible, why do I have a whole book dedicated to writing about myself? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
And so for me, what always would help me is to go out and volunteer and don't think about myself and don't worry about what other people think about me. And just be like, you know what? Go help somebody else. If you think you're being such a piece of shit, then go volunteer. Something simple, like smile at, there's, you know, go for, there are homeless people like walking, like, and not to about like giving money, but something simple, like, and all this last week, especially after Bourdain, I really like, it just shook me.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because I feel, you know, and I think it's because his personality was someone who just seemed so like, yeah, we're with this guy and life is great.
Well, he seemed like he was really able to connect and do those things.
And live in the moment.
And he was a fucking junkie and he openly talked about like suicide
and he
thoughts,
recovered
and depression.
And that story is still inspirational.
Right.
You know, like that's something that a lot of people stick to.
But it's like to walk down, there's something simple and you think it doesn't matter, but like when people post and they talk about, oh, people are struggling, a lot of times they're talking about their own struggle and they want, not attention, but it's like, and I get it, we're all sad and we want that. But if you can take that little bit of sadness and like when you feel shitty, instead of being so obsessed with how like sad I feel and I'm like, oh, I feel like I fucked everything up and whatever, because it's a feeling of like bleakness and helplessness. You're like, I can't turn the ship around. First of all, you can always change. Every second is a new second to change your attitude and change your behavior. You can do it. Obviously, that's like the point of the show. But then if you stop and go, wait a minute, what if everybody else on the train is also feels as shitty as I do? But instead of making eye contact and smiling at other people, we're all just sitting around thinking about how terrible we are, which is like, that's a form of vanity and narcissism. So like something simple, like, okay, walking down the street, there's like there's this row of like three homeless people that sit on the benches along the East River and they look at the water and I like to just walk and I put my headphones in so people don't like hit you up for money. But I don't listen to music. But something simple, you walk by and like most people don't make eye contact with the homeless people and they're like in their 20s.
It disgusts me.
And I'll really walk by that. And something simple like to make eye contact, they look at you and and be like, and just make, and be like, hey, how's it going? I'd be like, it's beautiful, right? And talk to them and their face, they don't ask for money.
Like people.
Yeah. Just talk to them like a person, something simple like that. And then, and they just like smile back and they're like, yeah, it is a beautiful day. And they like wave. And I like, I'm one of the only people that waves at them and not like, oh, I'm some great person.
Just to piggyback off that real quick. And I know that's not the point, but I, cause that's something that really, really makes me mad is a lot of times people treat homeless people like they do not exist because it makes them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So they don't make eye contact. They don't say hello. And this is even if like there's a homeless guy with a sign or straight up being like, hey, do you have spare change? Even if you don't want to give him money or you don't have money, don't just ignore them. Like they're a human person that just said something to you. So look at them and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. No, hope you have a good day. Don't just ignore them. Nothing makes me more angry than seeing people do that because it's like you are literally pretending like that doesn't exist. And it's fucking gross.
Right.
It's super gross.
Yeah.
Like I have never said, been asked for, by a homeless person for money and said, hey man, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I don't have any cash on me. Have a good night. Stay warm. Whatever. Not once have I said that to someone and then been like, oh, fuck you then. That's never happened. Like, it's like, they're like, oh yeah, have a good night. Like, thanks anyways.
Yep.
They're not going to be like aggressive to you because you say no.
Right.
They're just going to be stoked that someone didn't act like they're not alive.
Yep. Make eye contact. So fucking
do that, please. Because it really pisses me off when I see people do that.
Yeah. It's just obnoxious. Ignore them. Like it's little gross. Things like
it's
that.
Gross.
And I'm telling you, like to do something like that, as far as like if you're feeling sad or you're feeling shitty, a lot of times it's because we're not interacting with people. And especially with social media and with different jobs that people might have, we're so isolated. And so that leads to a more of a feeling of isolation. And then you can just think about your own problems and go in this downward spiral. But if you can pull back
and compare yourself to other people,
and instead of obsessing over your own problems, be like, you know what? Let me try for a week to, instead of obsessing over my own problems, anytime I start to feel shitty about myself, let me go do something nice for somebody else. Whether that's smiling at somebody or, you know what I'm saying? And smiling at somebody walking down the street or, volunteering. You can go volunteer at a shelter somewhere. You can donate someplace. Even something else, like the people that take out the trash or like the garbage men in New York and people that have jobs that like, we're pretty lucky. Even, you know, like most people have jobs that they aren't thrilled about, but they're not like jobs where it's like disgusting and they're working late at night. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know you complain where you're like, it's hard to exercise because I get paid to sit inside all day, but like you have a cush, you know what I mean? It's not like we're cleaning out airplane bathrooms, you know? So like, there are a lot of things to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And so if you look around and go, I'm grateful for all these things. And, but like the garbage people are this my favorite charity. And if you could go, and they're not a sponsor, obviously. There's a great charity. It's called the Doe Foundation. It helps people who are like coming out of prison, gives them jobs. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite foundation. You can go, you can donate like a monthly, a one-time thing. They do great work. They're all over New York and they're the guys in the blue jumpsuits. And these are people who have come out of the system of drugs, crime, prison, where a lot of times they go back in. And now what they're doing is they are rehabilitated and they make money, but they're working in sanitation. They're garbage men. And in New York, that's like a mafia job. It's actually a great gig because it's like, you know, so you're getting good benefits. But something simple, like when, like, we'll see the guys in their uniforms and they're cleaning the dough guys. It's the same kind of thing, especially on the Upper East Side. You'll see people just kind of ignore them. If we're someone, here's something simple. Make eye contact and be like, hey, thank you so much for doing that. Even if they're getting paid for it, they're getting paid to clean trash and do gross jobs. If you just go like, even though they're getting paid, you go, thank you. Because that's a way to encourage and interact with another human. And that's a very simple way to take the focus off of like my own sadness and be like, instead of me sitting around thinking about, man, it's like, okay, other people have it a lot worse and don't beat yourself up. Cause there's a trap too, where then people then can go, yeah, see, I am a piece of shit. Cause like, go to, you know, I'm like not even worried about other people. That's a shame spiral. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So the trick is just like, try not to, even if you feel sad and shitty, don't judge yourself for it. just observe, notice the behavior that like, wow, I sit around and feel sorry for myself a lot. Or I think about, you know, and I do that. And when I get in those things, I'm like, okay, how do I change this? And a really nice, you know, and so like to go volunteer, there's so many like day homes for like, especially like I've done shows where you go perform for like old folks homes. You and I, we could do like, I know four places in New York right now that anybody could walk in and be like, hey, can I volunteer? And they're like, sure. Yeah. And it's a bunch of old people who have no families, or they're just kind of there and they're like mentally, you know,
yeah.
Kind of, and you go and you serve them lunch. And then immediately there's a sense of like community and like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that instantly makes you, whether or not you know it, you feel better about yourself. And not, I mean, talk about the most selfish, healthy thing you could do, volunteer to increase your own self-worth. But it really, I mean, for me, it works to go out and just interact with people.
Well, and for me, I mean, it's been really helpful to have you in my life because you have this attitude of like, no, man, you got to just do it. You got to switch it around. Like you have kind of like a tough love attitude approach towards that.
Boy, is he going to be bummed out when I kill myself in 4 days.
And you also use comedy to joke about things that are that I think are impossible to joke about, which is something that I really love about you. But it's also,
it's because you're not fun, Steve.
But it's also really important for me personally to have an appropriate support network that is not strangers on the internet, that is not my girlfriend that I'm putting too much weight on, that is like a handful of select family and friends that I can really go to that know my whole deal, that I can be honest with, that it's not sharing things out in Facebook world or it's not talking to strangers, but like that is an appropriate network.
Well, this is the thing. And I think so there's many different ways people deal with things.
Yeah.
Not one solution isn't the right solution for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be unique. Everyone has their own thing and everyone needs to figure out their own path. But I think the most important point of conversations like this is that everyone knows that you're not alone. When you're standing on the train, everyone's dealing with their own shit. You know what I mean? Like we're all going through something. Everyone, you know, has been through something. So being able to talk about it and recognize that and appreciate that in the world, that's incredibly valuable to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it probably once a day and then I'm like, ah, I'm gonna kill myself. I'm like, no, there's like too much other cool stuff happening.
I'm so busy.
Yeah. I just have so many things to do. Yeah.
Whereas that's exactly why I'm like, I should kill myself. Yeah, I have so many things to do.
No, there is.
If I was dead, I would not have to do
side.
Any of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like to, I'm like, that's, and the other thing too, with volunteering is have a place to be. Like, I like that, but everybody's different. Like yeah. I'm somebody, if I'm sad and crying,
what was that face you just made?
Face? You just made this real stuff.
I made this gross face because that's how I react to if I'm like crying publicly and somebody goes, oh my God, do you need a hug? I want to fucking punch you in the face.
I hate that too.
Yeah,
I hate that so
Megan
much.
Megan and I are the same.
I don't cry.
If I'm upset and I'm like, do not talk to me, leave me alone. I'll pull myself together. Don't fuck. Like cause I'm like, I will start crying more. So leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Let me bottle this back inside where it belongs.
Yeah. Oh, see, and I'm the opposite. People agree. Do you want a hug? I'm like, no, I deserve to cry and I'm going to be dead in a week anyway. So don't waste your energy.
Oh, my thing's just like, no, leave me alone and I'll fucking push this deep, deep down in me. Just give me a minute.
Ooh, a bottler.
Well, no, that it comes out in an appropriate place, like in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah, it comes out in the appropriate place, like your toilet. Are we talking about feelings or beanie weenies?
I think they're the same.
Oh, yeah. They're just dirty mixed up in a crock pot.
Change my way of thinking. Make myself a different set of rules.
Jammers.
Gonna change my way of thinking. Make myself a different set of rules.
Jammers.
Gonna put my good foot forward. Stop being influenced by fools. So much depression. Can't keep track of it no more. Can't keep track of it no more.
Somebody send for my beanie weenie. ladies. CNBC is on.